Welcome to the Title Town Times, where we bring you all the news coming from 1265 Lombardi. My name is Nicholas Fargo, and with me is my co-host, Robert Martin.
What is going on, fellas?
What is going on, Packer Nation? Football is finally upon us.
Cannot wait, man. Cannot. Let's go.
Let's go, and of course, who better to kick off the 100th season of the NFL than against our oldest rivals, the Chicago Bears?
Absolutely. You know what? I've got a healthy respect for the organization over there in Chicago, but I tell you what, I also have a healthy distaste for them as well.
Exactly. you can respect them, but I sure don't like them. That's for sure. Mm-mm. I got to give credit where credit is due. They've looked like they're on the uptrend for a bit, but hopefully the Packers are able to take back what's theirs and take the division back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, over time, we really had, or at least recently, we really had our number with the Bears. You know, even back when Favre was a quarterback, we took, you know, how many games from this team and basically took their heart and will. But I think Chicago's on the upswing. We got to give them a little credit where it's due, like you said. They got some studs on defense, but you know what? It's still Chicago, and at the end of the day, throw out the records, throw out the trends, throw out everything. Let's just get those guys on the field and let's bust them in the mouth.
Sounds good. So right now we're going to go through the keys to the game, and then in the next segment we're going to be giving our predictions in the game. So, Robert, what are some of your keys for this game?
Well, I would start offensively with the run game. I think Matt LaFleur has stated several times that he wants to bring the running game back to the Packers. And as McCarthy ended his time in Green Bay, we didn't utilize the running game like we should have, in my mind. You got a guy like Aaron Jones, you know, sitting there on the cusp of greatness at least, but he's getting 10, 11 touches. I mean, come on. So if LaFleur hands the ball off and we establish a running game, it's only going to help number 12. He's not going to be a sitting duck all the time. They're going to have to actually respect a run. So one of my keys to victory, they've got to be able to run the football or at least commit to running the football.
Yes, and sticking with the offensive side of the ball, one of my keys to winning is protecting Aaron Rodgers with everything that they have, because we saw what happens when 12 gets hurt. It's not pretty.
Oh, and no doubt.
And with a stud like Khalil Mack on the edge, Brian Bulaga's got to be ready.
And, you know, on that note, Brian Bulaga, you know, I don't know if he absolutely manned up in that third and fourth quarter last year in the opening game, or if Khalil Mack got gassed. I mean, I don't think we'll ever truly know, but truth be told, Khalil Mack was an absolute beast in the first half, and he absolutely disappeared in the second half. So what was it?
I'm not sure what it was, really. I think a lot of it has to do with 12 evading defenders.
Yeah, and you know, I think some of the play calls too, they knew that he was really playing on one leg. So it was a lot of quick throws, and it wasn't the same look as in the past. And you know what? I actually think they should go back to those kinds of things. I mean, if Rodgers gets rid of the football, you know, we can't sit and hold it back there, especially when you're such a key to the team's success. Get back there, get the ball in your playmaker, move on.
And I think that was one of the biggest flaws of McCarthy's scheme. McCarthy's scheme was more about getting the big play, when LaFleur is just scheming receivers open and making sure that Aaron has an open man to throw to.
Absolutely. And we all know in the NFL, you can only cover for so long. There's no such thing as a lockdown corner anymore. There's no Deion Sanders out there roaming the field anymore. So at the end of the day, and it's a pass-happy league with officials throwing the flag and basically favoring the offense, I think we can all agree. I think the game is really leaned towards points and scoring and different things. But
correct.
At the end of the day, it still can't be about Rodgers sitting back there and holding the ball and scrambling like a madman every single play, waiting for somebody to clear and get open. I hope you're right. I've been praying for it. I want LaFleur to scheme guys open, and man, will they be deadly if that's the case.
And I think another difference that's going to be made here is we actually have a fullback on this roster now that can block for Aaron in the backfield for pass protection in Danny Vitale. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's a beast. And, you know, I'm thinking, what better? If you got Bulaga out there who has shown the ability, many times over, when he's healthy, he is more than solid. So if he can hold his own to some degree, plus they have Vitale waiting if Khalil does come around the corner and beat Bulaga, if they can chip on him and wear him down like that, I think Vitale's a key of the game.
I think so, too. Going to the defensive side of the ball, I think that the Packers front seven needs to shut down the run early and put the ball in Trubisky's hands. Because it remains to be seen whether Trubisky is actually a good quarterback or not.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I would take it just one step further. I think shutting down the run is huge. But then once Trubisky has to, we do put the ball in his hands. Keep that dude in the pocket.
Yes, exactly. That was going to be my next point. Keeping him in the pocket.
Absolutely. It's going to be a rush with a purpose, but yet keeping your lanes. We've seen over time. I still have nightmares of Kaepernick and those guys running, and Vic and those guys running down the sideline. Scott,
oh,
because he couldn't contain, right? But we're more athletic. We're more athletic than we've been in some time. So if we play with a little discipline, boy, I like our chances.
I do too. And a lot of people are sleeping on the Packers based on their down couple of years. But I think they forget that these aren't, like, on paper, this isn't the same team as, like, the last 2 years. Especially on defense.
No, absolutely. And one of my keys on defense, again, always would be stopping the run. But we've got to get Trubisky uncomfortable. This guy is he's a young and maybe we could even say up-and-coming quarterback. We could probably go so far to say. And I think that he's as streaky as it comes. So if he gets confidence early, he can be a very dangerous dude. But if we get him uncomfortable, maybe get an early turnover or at least a couple early hits on this guy, I see him unraveling. I don't think he's ready for what we got for him. Time will tell tomorrow.
Correct. And another thing is shutting down the run, but we have to be prepared for that rookie David Montgomery. I've been hearing nothing but good things about him.
Yeah, he's scary. And at the end of the day, there's people that are saying, Jordan Howard, who? Because of this guy. So at the end of the day, I'm hearing the same thing. He's tearing it up in preseason. So, you got to hope that they're scheming for it. And again, the Packers have not been this fast on the defensive side of the ball overall in a long time. It was one of those things where we lacked speed, and it showed so much against certain teams in the playoffs and different things. I know the Seahawks exposed us, the Falcons exposed us. But we got faster. We got guys that can fly now on both sides of the ball. So, but defensively, I'm really excited about that speed.
Yes, and who besides who do you think is going to stand out in this game?
My guy is Jair Alexander, and when we get to the predictions, I'll tell you exactly why. But I think he's going to take a huge leap. I'm going to make a bold prediction right now, and I don't know if that's really in our program or not. But Jair Alexander is going to the Pro Bowl. He's going to come up huge tomorrow night. He's going to lock down people. He's as close to a lockdown in the NFL as you're going to get. He's around the football, and man, does he have a moxie to him.
I love his swagger for sure.
Yeah, we haven't had it in a long time.
Exactly. I like that he kind of talks trash a little bit. Not too much, but not too much to where he gets a penalty, but he's got that like fiery attitude to him. And
he
think that
he does.
It's like, it's essential for the league today, for sure.
It's essential. And I think one more thing that is he's got a short memory. There's been times even last year where he got beat or he gave up a completion or whatever else, but you could just tell that it just kind of stoked his fire a little bit to come just a little bit harder the next play. And he just got that dog in him, and you can't really coach that stuff. Sometimes innately it's in your DNA. You're a dog or you're not. And wow, we have one in Jair.
Keep an
eye on number 23.
I agree for sure. And we also have to wonder if Josh Jackson is going to take that next step forward.
Yeah, and I think it was the last episode you hit the nail on the head when we talked about scheme. And again, Josh Jackson is really a zone corner. But at the end of the day, the Packers do line up, and they will press you man. So at the end of the day, we're going to have to see, does he have that a skill set? And he's definitely going to have to do that. If not, it's hard to say with Tony Brown lurking and different folks. We got some dudes in the back end as well still. So Does he have a move to safety if he doesn't get this? I don't know, but he's a ball hawk. He's been a ball hawk. I'd love to see him take a jump, and he seems like a really great dude, too.
And I can't remember the last time the Packers have had this much depth at corner. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it really has, and they're so athletic. Again, Tony Brown, Kadar Holman, and these guys, just imagine once they get some experience. Because, I mean, I think that's the one holdup right now is they just haven't had enough time at the NFL level. But
right.
you can't even doubt for a second they're intangible in their athleticism. They just have that.
And one other thing that we should talk about is this past trade that we had with the New York Giants acquiring B.J. Goodson. What do you make of it?
You know, from what I've heard, and I've done some checking with B.J. Goodson, you know, he's a second-year player now out of Clemson, and he was a beast at Clemson, frankly. But at the end of the day, he looks like more of a run stuffer. I have a little concern about him and Blake at the same time with coverage. Not exactly their strengths, either one. I think Blake's getting better at it, and you know, it's one of those things. I watched some clips. He gets to the ball quickly, seems to diagnose plays quickly. That was kind of a knock on Oren Burks. This guy has all the speed in the world, but sometimes doesn't diagnose a play in time, they say. Of course, we haven't seen him play enough. But
right.
But as far as Goodson, I mean, he seems to diagnose things, and he's pretty quick twitch out there. So I'm excited. He's a thumper.
I like him, too. And about the lack of skill and coverage, I think that's why we kept Raven Green. He's shown that he can play that hybrid linebacker, strong safety role for sure.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, Raven Green, they had this plan all along. I mean, you don't just magically put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle without some sort of sense that your role has changed a little bit. I mean, he's going to be in the box a lot. And I have no qualms about him covering tight ends. He's going to cover him up like he's going to fit him like a glove.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that we should also mention is we, of course, unfortunately, we do have to talk about our opponent here. It's kind of just – it strikes awe when you realize, like, how much one player – could improve a unit like Khalil Mack has to that Bears defense. It was kind of middle of the pack in 2017, in my opinion. Now it's just like skyrocketed ever since the arrival of Khalil Mack.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you have to shift your entire, you know, your blocking scheme to one guy because he's going to bring it. The thing about Khalil Mack is his motor never ends. He's got that blood in the water type of attitude. So, I mean, you do have to account for him, and when he does get in the backfield, he doesn't have good intentions when he's there. So this guy is he's a freak, and yeah, I was really down about the Bears getting him. I mean, when the Packers were in the hunt for him, I was concerned about the cap space. I was concerned about all those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, I kind of was wanting him. I mean, we got to be honest.
Yeah.
He's a premier player. I mean, there's no question. He just, like you said, he just turns defense around. But when the Packers weren't going to get him, to have the stinking Bears get him, man.
When I got that notification that morning, I just couldn't believe it at all.
Yeah, and some people will even say that he's the – I've heard so many things about Khalil Mack, but one is he's one of the best defensive players of all time. Now, I'd like to see him do it for a little bit longer before I'm going to anoint him that. But he's definitely a player, there's no question, but –
He's wears 50.
Yeah, he's all world. I get it, but he wears number 52, and there was a pretty good linebacker wearing that same number for the Ravens one day upon a time. And I'm not going to go so far to say he's the best linebacker I've ever seen.
Right. Yeah. Well, the thing is with him and Ray Lewis, they played two different roles. Like Khalil Mack plays more on the edge, while Ray Lewis just manned the middle and stuff the run. Yeah. Really,
yeah, absolutely, two different positions. It's definitely comparing an apple to an orange, but just from the standpoint of dominating a football game, I've never seen anyone do it like
from
Ray.
From a standpoint of dominance, yeah, I can see where you're coming from for sure.
Right. Yep. And I can see what you're saying too. There's obviously you're two different positions, but and you know what, not to even throw Khalil Mack under the bus, this guy is legit, and the Packers better be ready for him. They better bring help. If they think that Bulaga is going to one-on-one this guy and take him all game long, it's not going to happen.
It's not. They really have to scheme for Khalil Mack. And I imagine that that's what LaFleur has been stressing for sure. Because you can't just watch a film session of the Chicago Bears from last year and not notice Khalil Mack. It's just impossible.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, I'm a little bit old school, so I'll even go back to like a Lawrence Taylor. Some of the best schemes against a player like a Lawrence Taylor, like a Khalil Mack, you run right at him. You run right at him because this guy's gonna catch you from behind. He's never gonna stop in the backside, and that's when turnovers can happen. Those blind side kind of sweeps with the hand to the ball. The ball comes out. You know, he'll light you up from the backside. At the end of the day, sometimes to wear guys down, you can run the screen game at them. You can run traps at them and different things and get bodies on them all the time. I mean, it's hard to believe that, but that is a strategy.
For sure. And now shifting to the Bears offense. The last time that they played in the season opener, Matt Nagy was throwing some stuff at us that we just frankly haven't seen before, really. And it was pretty confusing, to say the least, at the beginning part of the game. And it threw our defense off, and it caused them to get a touchdown. And it was just, like, I couldn't believe what I was watching on my TV. Like, there were some formations that I'd never seen before.
This is true. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what I hope we do to them with a new coach and a new offensive scheme. But at the end, you have to remember, Nagy, first go at it. Haven't seen, they don't show much in preseason, and you could tell just by the look on McCarthy's face that he was confused about what was happening. Our defense is on its heels. They ran all sorts of goofy stuff. It did look different, and our defense wasn't ready to start the game. They went right down the field and scored against us. That was really discerning to me, but again, we know how that turned out in the end. Defense did step up, and you know, they kind of took care of business after they settled in.
Yeah, and it just, I wonder if they go back to that game and look at those formations and figure out what they're going to do to make sure that they know that that's not going to work on them that time.
You sure hope so. Again, both teams will bring in new wrinkles, as all teams do, to start the season. So they're going to see some stuff that they haven't seen, but I don't necessarily know that they're trying to work out this blank slate. You know, now they should have a year where they've seen Nagy's offense. They know some trends. They've done some studying with this personnel. It's not like they've changed over the roster a whole bunch. There are some new players and whatnot. I'm going to be honest. One guy that I'm concerned about on the offense for the Bears is Cordell Patterson. He's kind of been a Packers killer over time, mostly in special teams with the Vikings back in the day. But the Patriots used Cordell in the backfield. He was a beast back there. And always going forward, seems like, you know, you think you have him for a yard loss or whatnot, and he still falls and gets 4 yards. I mean, so I'm concerned about that. I wonder if they're not going to use him the same way as Belichick did.
Yeah, it's, you got to wonder about that for sure. Cordero has been very special with his speed and elusiveness. But I think since the Packers did play the Patriots, they can study from that film from when they played the Patriots and when they used Cordarrelle Patterson, and they can plan just in case Nagy decides to use him in the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because honestly, they also have, like we've already said, they've got Montgomery. They've also got Tariq Cohen back there, so I don't know how many carries are even available for a guy like Patterson. I mean, their backfield is, they're going to kind of roll with Cohen and Montgomery.
Very true. Cohen is also someone that we need to look out for, because this guy is shifty, he's tiny, but he's so elusive, and he can make plays in the receiving game as well, and he's just someone that you have to game plan for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a little guy, like you said, he's 5'6", he weighs 180 pounds. I mean, this is a little dude for NFL standards. Shifty as all get out. Kind of reminds me of a little Darren Sproles type of scat back. I mean, I can just imagine him going through the line with guys that are 6'4", 330 pounds. He's squeaking through these crevices. You don't even see the guy. So, yeah, we definitely have to get our hands on him and gang tackle him and corral him and make sure that, you know, if we just can't give him a ton of space, because he's dangerous there.
for sure. Well, right now we're going to take a word from our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to give our predictions and possibly some bold takes coming up. So keep it tuned right here on the Titletown Times. And we're back, and as we have noted, we are getting ready to face the Chicago Bears, week one of the NFL season, the very first game of the year, and again, that's just so fitting that the greatest rivalry of all time in the NFL is going to be the first game in its 100th year.
Yeah, isn't that appropriate? I mean, I think about it, and, you know, as much as I love the Packers and every single week is special, you know, you circle certain games on that schedule every year, and the Bears have to be right at the top of the list. I mean, the Vikings-Packers rivalry, it's a great rivalry, no question about it. Can't stand the Vikings, but at the end of the day, the Bears, man. I mean, that's the team, and they got to go down tomorrow.
They have to, and right now, we're going to give our predictions and some hot takes for tomorrow's game. So, Robert, why don't you start us off and set the bar here?
Okay, well, I'm going to give a little bit of a shout-out to the Packers news folks. I look at our friends Tom Silverstein, Pete Dougherty, Ryan Wood. I don't even know how to say Jim. I can't even say his last name, frankly. But you know what? I'm kind of disappointed. You know, you need a little more faith in our team, fellas. I mean, other than Ryan Wood, they're all going the other way. I don't like their predictions. I'm like, so I'm going to tell you this. I'm going against the grain. I think the Packers get it done tomorrow night. They get off to a hot start on the road, setting us up for a week two matchup with that team from Minnesota. I got a free score, and I'm going to tell you what I think it boils down to. It's going to come down to the quarterbacks. Who's got the better one? And I don't have a doubt in my mind that it's us. And I do think it comes down to a late drive in which Aaron Rodgers finds the end zone. 27-23 Packers.
All right. That is a very specific plan. I was just thinking, wouldn't it be a shame if this game came down to a field goal that had to be kicked by the Chicago Bears?
Double doink.
What if it became like a triple doink or something like that?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? And they still haven't settled on their kicker yet.
Yeah,
I mean, they settled on him, but it's not a settled position.
Yeah, they're saying like Robert Pinheiro is basically their kicker for now. But again, I think that's something I should have brought up in my keys for the game is like field goals for sure, because they still don't have a solidified kicker yet, so you don't know if like that's going to cost them the game potentially.
Right, and it's Eddie Pinheiro, but at the same time, he's a second-year guy from Florida. You know what? He's done well in college, but he's had his struggles, and wouldn't that be something? I mean, if he had some sort of collapse in this game, it would maybe even take a huge toll on them going forward in this whole season. That's how bad the kicking situation has been for them.
For sure, definitely. And there's a couple of NFC North teams that it happens to for sure, like the Vikings. But we're not going to go into that until week two. But my prediction here, Aaron Rodgers is going to go into this game, fire in his gut, just wanting to prove all these media cronies wrong, saying like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is uncoachable. He stood like 2 feet away from Matt LaFleur on the sideline. They must hate each other or something like that. They probably write something like that. And I want to see him show that he and LaFleur actually do have a great relationship and that they, and while there might be some struggles early, it's not going to be something to be concerned about in the near future.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, we talk about this relationship so much, and you know, winning and success is going to breed and help a relationship grow. And LaFleur brings in an innovative offense, as we've seen before, and he's coming from a coaching tree in which it's kind of been the common denominator. You've got a quarterback who, frankly, got burned out of a scheme. I do think there was a schism between McCarthy and Rodgers. I think there is something to that. I don't know if it's overblown, and it very well could be. I don't know. But at the end of the day, things got stale in Green Bay, and LaFleur brings an energy. I think Aaron Rodgers appreciates it, probably even makes him feel younger, you know, by the day. I think he's going to come out swinging.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we're going to see a lot more of the run game, for sure, as you had mentioned before. That is a key. But we saw what LaFleur could do with a guy like Derrick Henry, and it was phenomenal. That one, man, I'm forgetting who they played, but just Derrick Henry went off in that game. And I think it might have been the Jaguars, because I remember him like just shoving two defenders down. But that's just more on Derrick Henry's part. But we see that he likes using the run game. And
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was the Jaguars. You're correct on that. I do remember him just stiff-arming a few of those jokers down. Jalen Ramsey being one of them. And can you imagine for a moment if they really do throw this run game at the Bears to some level of effectiveness, in which Aaron Rodgers, maybe the best quarterback of all time, arguably, can turn and fake a handoff to freeze everybody, in which guys are going to have that moment to get behind that initial line of linebackers. I mean, there's soft spots, and if you have to respect the run, Aaron Rodgers will kill you. He's a killer,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. Like, whenever you see that smile on his face, you know he's coming up with something.
Yeah, he puts the fear of God in me, and I'm a fan of his, right? I mean, I'm a Packers fan, but when he has that certain look in his eye, I mean, these other people from other teams, these fan bases, they can knock him all they want. They can say he's not coachable. They can say whatever. There's not one of these jokers that wouldn't take him in a New York minute. I don't buy it for a second. In fact, it's gotten old. I think it's gotten old for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to come out. He's going to kick some ass tomorrow.
I think so, too. Yeah, another one of those news people that you were talking about. I was going to mention Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV. I do like him, for sure, but I think he has been kind of a negative Nancy in all of this.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. I do follow him as well, and something's going on, because normally, I mean, he's been pretty objective over time. I mean, he doesn't wear rose-colored glasses. If he sees something, like a lot of these guys, I mean, they'll call it like it is, but I just don't – I don't quite understand the fact that, first of all, our starters haven't even played. Second of all, you know that in the preseason, LaFleur has, you know, 90-some percent of his playbook. He wouldn't even think about pulling out. This is the preseason. You don't show your hand. So I don't really know, you know, again, he's privy to some practices. He's at Ray Nitschke Field watching some things in the preseason. So he has probably seen some stuff. But you know what? A new scheme, a new coach – yeah, you're going to be sloppy at times, and you're pulling this together. We're going to find out tomorrow night.
Exactly. And that's no shot at Nagler at all. I still watch his pod. I still listen to Nagler's Never Right. I listen to I watch Cheesehead TV whenever I can, and that's not a shot at him at all.
No, Aaron Nagler is highly reputable, and I'm with you. I think he's a great I think he's a great sports writer, frankly, and I love listening to him talk about the Packers. He's well informed, but again, it's one of those things where maybe a couple seasons of rough football. You know, we haven't seen a postseason in a couple years now, and it's kind of wearing on people. And honestly, it's probably better to report when you're a winning team. You know.
Yeah, and I think that it's very crucial to note that maybe it's because they don't want to get their hopes up again. I don't know, but I think I'm going to be hopeful, and I know that you're sounding very hopeful as well, so that's good.
You know who else sounds hopeful, is as long as they're throwing guys out as far as the commentators and whatnot, is Pete Prisco. And once again, he's a Packer fan, I think, in some ways. He picks the Packers to win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl, hit the Patriots, right? Almost every single year. Eventually, you're going to win that. Maybe the year is this year, but at the end of the day, he picks the Packers to win more than he doesn't, and again, he's got him winning tomorrow night. Pete Prisco has a lot of insight too, and he seems to see the optimism and the ability that they have on the field this year. I do too. I share it.
I agree completely. And I was watching Inside Access on NFL Network, and two of the three people predicted the Packers to win. The third one was Willie McGinnis, but he chose the Bears. I forgot who the other two were, but they did pick the Packers to win. So,
sure.
Maybe more people are high on this team than we realize.
Well, but then there's optimism. I mean, at the beginning of a season, every team is, you know, we're 0-0. Every team has this optimism. Some is false, some isn't. But
right.
When I look at what they've done in the offseason, I love the fact that we have a new scheme on offense. I love the additions on defense. I think we've gotten more athletic. I just feel like the pass rush that had been lacking is going to be there again. I just can't imagine when I hear Za'Darius Smith has given Bakhtiari problems in training camp at times. I mean, that guy's got to be a beast. I mean, Bakhtiari is, you know, he's a absolute, in fact, in my mind, he's the best. Yeah, exactly. He's the best left tackle in the game. So if we got somebody giving him fits, he's going to give anybody fits. And I hope health can stay on our side. I hope, you know, if we can stay healthy and keep that injury list down to a minimum, a minimal with injuries, we're loaded. I feel like we're loaded.
I agree completely. I guess giving my score for this game, because I guess you did already, 27-23, if I'm correct.
That's what I have, yeah.
All right. I'm going to go... Oh, man. I'm going to go 24-21, and I'm going to be that guy that says it comes down to Eddie Pinheiro missing a field goal.
Sure.
All right.
Totally can see it. In my 27-23, I'd like to at least clarify with the folks. I said this earlier in the broadcast, but Jair Alexander is taking one to the house. He's gonna sit on a hitch. He's gonna jump it and he's gonna take it to the house. I don't know how long it's gonna be, but he's gonna score.
Yeah, I agree. I think that could definitely happen for sure. And plus, it would take a lot off of our offense if the defense could put up some points for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to get all twisted out of shape knowing that I do think that the Bears defense is legit. I think the Packers this early in a season with a brand new scheme, they might start slow. I don't know. But I think our defense is going to be light years ahead of what we've seen in the past. I don't think the tackling issues we've seen in the preseason are indicative of what we're going to see on this squad, because it's not the same guys. These are the starters, and I think we're going to tackle better. I think we're going to fly to the football. And again, 23 is going to take one to the house. I'm making a prediction. I feel strong about it.
And another thing, Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers podcast, he said, like, even if the Packers don't win, we get another crack at them at Lambeau Field. So before anyone gets, like, if this game doesn't go the way that we want it to, before anyone says, like, oh, we need to fire LaFleur or we need to get McCarthy back or whatever they're going to say, just realize it's the first game of the year.
Yeah, the sky's not going to fall in either way, and they're not going to hand out the Lombardi Trophy tomorrow either. So win or lose, you still have to keep in perspective it's week one. Nobody makes the playoffs after week one. Nobody gets ousted from the playoffs in week one. And like you said, we get another shot at him regardless. But what a way to start the season if we can get a win at Chicago, a division game, go up in the north 1-0, and then turn around and have the Vikings come to Lambeau Field. I mean, we could actually take control of this sucker right off the bat.
I agree completely. Well, anyways, everybody, that's all the time that we have for this week's episode. Tune in Friday, where we will be getting our reactions from this upcoming game. So,
absolutely. And I would say that this podcast wouldn't end the right way if we didn't at least say Bears still suck, baby.
Oh, yeah. The Bears still suck, for sure. But anyways, you guys... keep tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack.